This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Cedarside.com, your all-natural, organic solution to pest control problems, protecting people, pets, and premises. Cedarside.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's Halloween season. There's no way of avoiding it. Probably from Labor Day, you walk into a store and the candy counters are chock full of trick-or-treats, and the Halloween pumpkins are out, and the witches and the black cats are everywhere. And people are gearing up for Halloween, a particularly gruesome Halloween, because the real-life horrors of the world are intruding and seem to make the imagined horrors of Halloween pale by comparison. We've got Ebola raging, where people are bleeding from all orifices, making Halloween masks superfluous. We've got individuals being brutally beheaded in the Middle East by ISIS. And also, we have the outrage of all kinds of ridiculous foods being promoted to our kids. And to address that problem, I've invited a special guest. She's Dr. Lisa Sulcenti. Dr. Sulcenti is a chiropractor in New Jersey, and she's particularly focused on the issue of food intolerances and bad quality foods for kids. She is the mother of an autism spectrum disorder child, and so she has a particular concern about what goes into her child's body, and she's trying to ignite a global awareness by helping families with autism spectrum disorder to use natural means of optimizing their children's function. And diet makes a big difference in these kids. I've seen it. And this is actually at the heart of the work that Dr. Sulcenti does. She's written several books, including The Over-Tilted Child. She's also written Naked Moxie, Rocking Life as a Superwoman, trying to balance professional life and family life at the same time. And so she's here with us to point out some of the hazards of some of the foods that you might find in the candy aisles or that you might find in your kids' trick-or-treat basket. So welcome to the program, Dr. Sulcenti.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. Hoffman.
It's my pleasure. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this field, first of all. What's your background?
Oh, okay. Well, I have been a nutritionist and a chiropractor now for over about 17 years. I have a bachelor's degree in nutrition from the University of Delaware, so I started there, and then I ventured out to California for my chiropractic degree, and it was, I guess, there that I really started understanding about organic foods and how to grow your own foods and how it really starts affecting the body. And being a student in chiropractic, we learned about the body's amazing ability to heal itself and how at times medicine is necessary, but at other times that we can use alternative methods. So that's how my personal or my professional life came together. But my personal life, I am a mom of three boys, and they're all on the spectrum a bit, but the one child really, really struggled with the challenges that autism spectrum brings, and so he got diagnosed, and we were talking about problems within school, within the classroom, social settings, home, the whole, you know, plethora of things that go on with autism spectrum.
So
what I noticed,
go ahead. Yeah. So in light of that, you know, in your, you feature a recent blog that caught my attention, and that's why I invited you, and it's a great blog, and it's very detailed. I invite listeners to check it out. It's at drlisasulcenti.com, and you're going to have to spell that for our listeners.
Yes, it's like spaghetti.
Okay.
It's S-U-L-S-E-N-T-I.
So it's spelled the way it sounds, S-U-L-S-E-N-T-I. It's very phonetic, drlisasulcenti.com. And
yes.
And the blog that caught my attention is very apropos for this season. It's La Toxic Trick in Halloween Candy and Why You Must Dump the Junk. And so let me just say right up front that you are not puritanical. You're not the Kerry Nation of the, you know, anti-candy movement, insisting that kids go bereft of Halloween treats. You actually offer constructive examples in your blog. But first of all, why don't we go through some of the things that typically are in Halloween candy and why that may not be such a good idea for our kids to consume that stuff?
I think the first thing, are we allowed to mention the brands of the candy or no?
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Okay. Take, if you know, look at, yeah, like
fire away. Fire away. Absolutely.
I don't like.
I have my lawyer sitting beside me. Oh, Irving, okay. Is it okay to mention? Yeah, okay. Irving says it's okay, so we're going to go ahead. Yeah, you know, I always have Irving sitting beside me to make sure that I'm not subject to any kind of liability, whatever
that's
I do.
Right.
So,
that's
so
right.
He's there. He's on retainer, and you know, he sits next to me every broadcast. So Irving says, just you know, fire away. Name names.
No problem. I don't like tacking companies, but what you and I both, I'm sure, agree seeing is that these companies are. Cleaning up some of their candies for kids in Europe, but not here in the United States. So this is one of my goals is to educate parents here in the United States that we really, really have to avoid these foods and say no. When you say no to buying them, it also is going to make them change them. So if you look at something like Skittles, you know, you have these dyes. If we start off with the artificial dyes and coloring, you've got like citrus red, red 3, red 40, yellow 5. Blue Lake 2, Yellow 5, 5, 6. There's a ton of them.
Right, and you actually depict a label on your blog. It's very interesting because when you hone in on, I mean, a lot of people just buy the product, and then they read, you know, it's all in fine print, and then you know, it's, these are weasel words. People don't really understand them. But you know, why don't we drill down and tell our listeners what does that mean? All that terminology.
And sometimes they just say artificial coloring. They don't tell you that the artificial coloring are these dyes. So the when you read the ingredients, it is very ambiguous. They are neurotoxins, so they have detrimental effects on the body. And when you are talking about a child, especially with the autism spectrum, their nervous system has problem regulating. This is really for all children, though. You really don't want any nervous system to be exposed to these toxins. So.
Right. I mean, I think one point to be made is there may be some kids who are actually more resilient to these effects. And that some kids, I mean, that's why studies sometimes are controversial. They feed this to normal kids and, you know, maybe 1,000 kids. And on average, they do okay. But maybe a certain subset, maybe 10% or more, have off-the-wall symptoms. But that may be camouflaged because the vast majority of kids, they seem to be somewhat resilient to all that junk. It doesn't mean it's not bad for them long term. It might be carcinogenic or, you know, lead to other problems, but in terms of immediate behavior effects, maybe not. Maybe not. Although you got to see a kid's party at Halloween sometimes. The kids are so off the wall. You wonder, you know, what are they getting off on?
Right. And that's funny that you said that because when I had my children and before the age of kindergarten, they were with me, so I controlled what they ate and what they're exposed to. And when they went off to school, the things they were bringing home, I was horrified. I was like, what are they doing in the parties? And not to blame anything on the school, but the birthday parties and the way society was just feeding our children, I was like, oh, my gosh. And they are. They're going to a party in school. They're off the walls. And you're like, you're just shocked.
It's like drunken sailors, you know.
Yes, exactly. And if you go back, there's plenty of studies, if you start digging, that explains that these dyes, especially six specific ones, are I guess, linked to increasing hyperactivity rates in children and inattention problems, impulsivity problems, overactivity problems, things like that. When I started doing my research, I started getting a little angry because you have companies like Hershey's and Kraft and Coca-Cola and all these other big U.S. companies that are taking out these toxic dyes in the same exact foods or candies in Europe, but not here. So that is a little upsetting as a parent. You're like, why are you offering some certain foods in Europe that do not have the dyes and the colorants, and then here we have them, knowing that there's so many studies that have linked them to neurological problems. So that's something that ignited me, you know, as a mom and as a nutritionist and a chiropractor. And I have a blog on autism, so I definitely had to focus on the candy.
Does this have something to do with the Feingold research that was actually initially undertaken, I believe it was in the 1970s, Dr. Norman Feingold, I believe his name was, investigated the relationship between certain chemicals that are added to foods, but also certain natural substances in foods, phenolic compounds, that might trigger behavioral changes in kids. And he, of course, was spurned. He was, you know, ridiculed because he came up with this idea. And yet there's research that substantiated it. Particularly, I think a big study that came out of England recently that actually supported the notion that food colorings and dyes had an impact on certain children.
Yeah. That study actually led to the European law, the codes of the union law. They actually banned a lot of these. Or at first they told they had to have warning labels on their foods, but then they started banning them out of their country entirely. So you just start wondering when you read the research, you're like, I don't understand why we're allowed to give these things to our children when they don't allow it to give to their children. The children are all the same, right? So it's like you start wondering, and we have such an outbreak or an epidemic of autism. So it's scary of what we're feeding our kids, what's in the foods.
But in the United States, we prescribe many more attention deficit drugs than they do in Europe. By several fold. And so maybe it's because we believe in the pharmaceutical fix and they're more concerned about discovering the origin.
Exactly, yeah. And I work with so many moms that they're desperate, and I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, I've been there where you are crying yourself at sleep at night because your child can't function normal, you know, or typically in a normal day, and you don't know what to do. And so medicine is really, you feel it's the only answer when it's not. There are plenty of other things you can do, but that is how you feel, you know. You don't think about the food unless somebody's taught you that. So that's why this podcast is so special to me, because if we can get out there and teach people that it is, you know, look at what you're feeding them. Halloween is a big thing. Think about how much candy they're going to get.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm looking at the other ingredients that you posted on Skittles,
yeah.
And number one ingredient is sugar. Now, you know, look, kids like sugar, but, you know, what are the potential effects of really sugar-laden treats? I mean, you're going to have some sweeteners, and you're going to use some sugar in some products, no question. I mean, there's no point in telling kids zero tolerance for sugar, just say no. But it's the number one ingredient in the vast majority of products, so could that in itself have an impact on kids' behavior?
Yeah, I think sugar just in general, yes, is definitely going to increase their behavior. What I'm worried about with sugar is the source that they use. I always tell people to look at the source of where your sugar comes from. What I'm learning now in the organic field is you're still going to be exposed to some sugar, but the sugar is derived differently. So we'll get into what I recommend, but if you're looking at like a certified organic candy, it is a non-GMO candy. Or if you use a candy that has a certification from a non-GMO project, you're knowing that the source is in a genetically modified organism. That's another big new word out there, but it's very important because things like sugar, glucose, dextrose, maltose, I believe in the Skittles, they have the first two ingredients are sugar and corn syrup. Highly processed high fructose corn syrup, regular corn syrup, the words, other sugar variants, and even words just like corn and soy are now these big red flags that they might be a genetically modified source.
Well, so just for the sake of argument, you know, and some of our listeners may not be attuned to the debate about GMOs, you know, what could possibly be the harm of including some sugar sourced from GMO plants for kids? What's theoretically the potential problem?
Right now it's linked to cancerous type of tumors and other health problems. They really don't know the full blown health effects yet, but the argument, because it's very controversial right now, is that it is a cancerous type substance. So when they are testing them on rats in labs, the rats are getting tumors. So when you're giving them genetically modified organisms, we're finding tumors in rats. That's pretty much where we're at right now. And I think that it's something that needs to be researched more and possibly not loaded in our food yet until we know.
My position is we need to do more research. It's an untested technology. It's been unleashed in a huge uncontrolled experiment on the American populace and the population of the world, in fact. And it's unclear what affects these modified organisms will have. In the past, you know, we did do hybridization and plant breeding, and we changed plants' composition, but not in the radical way that genetically modified organisms. It's a kind of a That's a great leap forward or potentially into the unknown in terms of what the biological effects might be.
Right. And then I notice when you're comparing like an organic candy, the ingredients are just simpler. You know, as for back the dyes, they're just going to use maybe like beet juice or something that's just going to dye it naturally. And same with the sugars, there's just not all these man-made like heavy chemicals, like a high fructose corn syrup that's sitting in a candy. So we don't really know the detrimental effects yet of GMOs. I just didn't like the children being the guinea pigs, you know.
And another ingredient, it's right up there, number three ingredient, hydrogenated palm kernel oil. And, you know, this is in the wake of a lot of disclosures about the harmful effects of transsaturated fats. In fact, transsaturated fats have been a proposed ban in New York City, courtesy of our former mayor, Mayor Bloomberg. And hydrogenated fats, also many products feature a label that says hydrogenated fat free, although they're allowed to have up to 1% hydrogenated fats still under that labeling language. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah, well, hydrogenated fats, I don't like them. They're like those, it's one of the silent, we call them silent killers because they're in almost everything, but you really don't know it if you're not really researching it. And what a hydrogenated fat is they take a natural, I'm sure you know, they take a natural healthy oil and they hydrogenate it. They throw hydrogen atoms into it. So what they're making is this unhealthy fat. It's like, and it acts like sludge in the arteries. So you're going to have something that's scraping the arteries, clogging the arteries, and creating a lot of problems down the road for your health. So
is that a necessary ingredient? Is that what keeps them, what the hangs the candy together?
It's usually found in the chocolate, and they're using it. It's a great point that you make. Chocolate has so many benefits, but you have to really use that dark, natural, real chocolate. My blog gets into it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said that, because if you were going to tell me that there's no chocolate, I would have been really heartbroken. But
I love chocolate, and I do. And
you know what I got as a present for my birthday recently?
I can do this.
You know what I got as a present for my birthday recently? I got a 1 kilo bar of dark chocolate, 2.2 pounds. It's like this brick of dark chocolate, which probably will last me all of about 2-3 weeks because I eat a lot of dark chocolate.
Well, that's the thing about real dark chocolate is you only need a little bit because it's bitter, and you don't have to keep eating chocolate. I found that with the conventional chocolates, you just keep eating them because it doesn't, I don't know, right? There's no fullness on it. Now, they say real chocolate has got to be 70 to 85% cocoa. But the benefits of real chocolate is as iron, magnesium, copper, manganese, potassium, phosphorus, zinc, and selenium. It's got a ton of antioxidants, and I'm sure you read research where they say it improves blood flow, reduces blood pressure, things like that. But when you look at a conventional chocolate bar, like, let's say, my favorite Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I'm a sucker for those things.
They're going to use an emulsifier, and what they want to put in there is they can hold, I think it basically has to do with the thickness of it and being able to add milk and sugar into it.
But I think they're natural alternatives to that, because it's nothing like that combo of chocolate and peanut butter that's so delicious, but there are natural alternatives that avoid those ingredients, correct?
Yeah. I have it on there. It's called Justin's Peanut Butter Cups. They're
awesome. Oh, great. Oh, okay.
Yeah, check them out. They're
really good. I'm there. I'm so there. Okay.
I know. But anyway, you asked me about the hydrogenated. It basically is going to be emulsifier. What the companies have done is cocoa butter is the natural emulsifier in that lovely dark chocolate probably that you got for your birthday. And it's expensive. So what companies did over the years, like Hershey's, the big company, is they trying to cut costs and not use cocoa butter. They use things like hydrogenated palm oil, or they use something like soy lecithin.
Mm-hmm.
Or they use something that's called PGPR.
Ooh, that doesn't sound too wholesome. Yeah.
No, that's what's in the Reese's, the PGPR, which is a common emulsifier. And it's used to decrease the thickness of the chocolate when you're going to add ingredients like milk and sugar to it.
So it makes it possible to work with the chocolate, because otherwise it might crumble or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got two problems going on. You got problems, or maybe three, but you're using these bad emulsifiers instead of using something good like cocoa butter. And then you're also starting to create, which I was really kind of neat, I was kind of happy with when I read the research, what our country did, was if you look at it, Hershey started using all these bad choices for emulsifiers, and what the country basically did was made them label it made with chocolate. You ever seen that? It's not really pure chocolate. You're not having what you got for your birthday.
Wow. That's like the juice that's not really juice. You know,
yeah,
it's like juice flavoring.
It's not like chocolate.
Right. Okay.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a sleight of hand there.
But yeah, I just want people to know that when you're having a conventional chocolate, you're not getting all the benefits that chocolate can give you unless you're having that dark real chocolate.
That's right. And I think that's part of the problem is, you know, I think a lot of people hear all the benefits of chocolate and they buy really cheap, you know, mainstream brand chocolate candy bars, and they think they're getting the benefits. And what they're getting is a lot of sugar, fat, chemicals, and not the highest quality dark chocolate that confers the health benefits. So I think a little bit of hype going on in the chocolate business these days. I notice in Reese's that there's an ingredient that is insidiously called TBHQ, in parentheses, preservative. What the heck is that?
Yeah, TBHQ, it is a chemical preservative. It's a form of butane, actually.
Oh, lovely. That's the same thing that's in cigarette lighters, right?
Yeah, and Reese's is my favorite until I really researched almost every ingredient you see there. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. It gets better and better as you read it. It is, the purpose of it is that it allows the food to last longer on the shelf, and it's actually very, very common in fast foods, but also candy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there's just been a few studies out that it links it to, this is really interesting, it's been linked to the body's ability to make cancer cells resistant to chemotherapy.
Ooh.
There's also another study that it can fragment DNA and cause damage to human lung cells. So it's really not a good preservative. It's controversial as to, there's not enough studies on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has been linked to anxiety, restlessness, attention deficit disorder.
Yikes.
And this hyperactivity in children also. But again, not a lot of studies to prove it, so I guess that's why they can use it.
Right. And you provide the 411 on that at your website,
DrLisaSilcenti.com.
And the full name for that, and it's pretty insidious, is tertiary butyl hydroquinone.
Yeah, there you go. I'll let you say it.
Right. All right. That's why I went to med school. Okay. All right. So then we got the PGPR, the emulsifier, the polyglycerol pyrocinylate. I can't even pronounce it. You know, generally, a good rule of thumb is if you can't pronounce it, it's probably not great to consume. The unpronounceables are probably potentially harmful. All right. Okay, so this is a good point to segment our podcast, because generally we go into two parts. Part one is about potential hazards and pitfalls, but now parents are left disconcerted and without options. So in part two, we're going to talk about some healthy options for kids. And please don't say, carrots and celery sticks and apple slices, because that won't cut it with most kids. We'll talk about some healthier candy options for Halloween that you can fill your kids' and neighbors' trick-or-treat bags with. Today's guest is Dr. Lisa Silcenti. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.